and welcome to the first ever Austerity Pledges podcast, featuring the very best in political and topical comedy from an awesome selection of stand-up comedians who, let's be honest, you probably haven't heard of before, but hopefully you want to hear more of in the future. Here's a brief sample of what you can hear over the next few episodes. Here's Nathan Wilcock.
It's great that Jeremy Corbyn's leader of the Labour Party. It's sort of like watching like a League Two side go on a really good FA Cup run, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's thrilling to watch. And as it goes on, you sort of start to imagine them claiming the top prize and how wonderful that would be. But then ultimately, in the back of your head, you know that they'll probably get beaten by a team full of millionaires.
More of him later on. In future episodes, you'll hear Ashley Hayden.
Well, no, the election, I remember going to sleep on the Thursday with it all being quite close. Waking up on the Friday with Tory government. I go and sleep on Christmas Eve, waking up finding out that Santa's shat in his stocking.
And in future episodes, you'll also hear an actual MP, Magnus Turner MP.
Good news. I held on to my seat. It was never seriously in doubt. I ran an unswervingly positive campaign. No dirty tricks, no smears, no backbiting. Unlike the liars, thieves and perverts I was standing against.
We also hope to have many contributions from other comedians today. Ollie Bettesworth is getting involved. And we're going to build to future episodes with an extended headliner set from the amazing Don Biswas. Let's hear a bit of him now.
By the way, if you're anti-immigration, it doesn't make you racist. Real racism is what happened last year when a bloke came up to me in London, took one look at me and said to me, mate, go back to where you came from. And because I was dyspraxic, unfortunately, I had to ask him for directions first.
This is very exciting because we're recording the first ever podcast on Back to the Future 2 Day. It's raining outside, and that does reflect the mood of Twitter slightly, because I've been on it to check out the tweets of Back to the Future 2, and I think after just 5 minutes, I already hate the film that I once loved. Thanks, Twitter. You know, I'm joking, of course. Who could hate a film where essentially the main character tries to get off with his own mum? Interesting fact, in Back to the Future 2, which is set in 2015, a 3D Jaws 19 lowers itself down and swallows Marty McFly whole. Meanwhile, in actual 2015, Star Wars 19 has a 3D George Lucas opening his bum hole as he invites fans to crawl up inside it, which they willingly do. The only channel showing Back to the Future 2 is ITV2, followed by a tribute show with Keith Lemon. We had 26 years to prepare for this day, and that's the best we could come up with. If Michael J. Fox finds out about this, he'll be shaking with rage. Being a topical podcast, we're not just going to focus on films that are made 26 years ago. We will also lower ourselves to talk about things that you really love, such as reality TV. Things like The Apprentice, that has returned for 11th series very recently. This is a remarkable achievement when you consider that every episode of The Apprentice is identical. Every episode features a group of loudmouth show-offs who fall out over a task that doesn't make any sense, who shout a lot, then are invited into a boardroom by a faceless receptionist to be told by a man who looks like an angry testicle that they have been fired despite never having been employed in the first place. It makes no sense, and I hope that's exactly how the BBC pitches the show to foreign broadcasters. Another show that you love, and I can't understand why, is The Great British Bake Off, which ended very recently. I've never watched it, and I have no intention of watching it, but I imagine it is episode after episode of cake porn plus crying equals somehow ratings. I base this theory on a fact that Ms. Nadia Hussain, who I have to legally point out is a Muslim lady, every other news broadcaster, outlet, website has to point out that she is a Muslim lady for no reason at all. For example, if I was on the Great British Bake Off and I jizzed on a cake or whatever they do, they would say that is Ben Morgan, an atheist, jizzing on a cake there. No reason for them to mention the atheist bit. Probably a good reason for mentioning the jizz on the cake, though. Anyway, I base that on the fact that Ms. Nadia Hussain, a Muslim lady, said the following thing after she was crowned winner of the Bake Off.
I am never going to put boundaries on myself ever again. I am never going to say, I can't do it. I'm never going to say, maybe. I'm never going to say, I don't think I can, because I can, and I will cry, 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 cry.
You baked a fucking cake, love. Chill out. I went online and asked people why the Bake Off was so popular, and I got some good answers. Ali King said, one word, mate, gilf. He's got a good point. Comedian Peter Cumney said, well, the BBC needed the dough. Two puns in one, love it. But my favourite reason of why people like the Bake Off is based on the right-wing tabloid's anger at the religious beliefs the winner held. Here's comedian Ollie Bettesworth with why the Bake Off is so popular.
It's popular because of the fascistic PC police telling us we gotta celebrate the Muslims and forcing their liberal, biased agenda down our proud British throats.
Or because it's frothy, undemanding shite and we're a nation who hates to be stimulated. It's one of those.
That's Ollie Bettesworth there. If you want to Twitterise him, I'll spell his surname. Bettesworth. Also, he runs the brilliant Crown the Knave fortnightly comedy club in South London. This episode of Austerity Pledges is a preview show. It will be shorter than future shows, which hopefully will be uploaded every 2 weeks. Lots of stand-up you will hear today and in future episodes was recorded at a gig we put on recently called Corbyn Mania, held on September the 29th in Brighton, which coincided with the Labour conference. It was an absolute blast to do. Loads of people came. Thank you if you came. We had so much fun. We even made a bit of money, and some awesome comedy was produced on the night. And let's hear a segment of that right now. Let's hear a little bit more of Nathan Wilcox's set.
Because the latest thing that David Cameron and George Osborne have been saying is they've come out and they've said they want to move Britain to a high-wage, low-tax, low-welfare society. Have you heard them say this? Yeah. And I actually agree with that. Because I absolutely hate paying tax, but I love spending my wages on costly medical insurance. I went on a protest recently because I don't like the government. I went on the anti-austerity protest, and this was this happened like a couple of weeks before the election, but a couple of weeks after the election, this anti-austerity protest, and there were people going around with placards which read "Tories out now," and I was like, sort of missed the boat on that one, didn't we? That was the whole point of the election was for, wasn't it? I think that's probably why I could never be like a proper anarchist, is because when I see that sign, you know, Tories out now, I'm not like, yeah, let's fuck shit up, yeah. No, when I see that sign, Tories out now, I'm like, yeah, that's not how a parliamentary democracy works. But when I was on this protest, I did possibly see the most middle-class protest sign ever. And there's just this woman holding a placard which read, blue is not the warmest colour. It's quite a niche project. I hardly expect her to have another one which read, Theresa is not the darling bud of man. blue is not the warmest colour. It's quite an abstract notion, isn't it? I'm not sure if that will whip the masses into revolutionary fever. Maybe it will, you know, maybe that's where protest movements are going wrong all this time. You know, maybe Thatcher was able to smash the mining industry because coal not dole, as a slogan, doesn't contain enough references to French art house of Rotterdam. I don't like how everyone's saying, oh, he's unelectable, because, like, for my generation, the reason I like Jeremy Corbyn is because I voted for the Lib Dems in 2010, and we all know that. And then I voted for Labour in this year, and somehow we ended up with something far worse. And then Jeremy Corbyn comes along. He seems to offer like hope and like equality and social justice. I might vote for him. And then the Blairites and press are like, no, fucking idiot, you can't vote for him. You know nothing. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Get back in your hole, girl. Get back in your hole. Get back in your debt-ridden minimum wage.